A talk show that's real. It's Kilmeade and Friends.
Hey, I'm Leslie Gold. I'm in for Brian. It is Kilmeade and Friends. In the studio with me, Bonnie Harvey and Michael Houlihan, the founders of Barefoot Wines. If you walk into any wine store anywhere, you'll see their product. And it's a remarkable story. It's a story that started in a laundry room where they turned this business into the fastest growing wine business in the country. And even more remarkable, they broke into a clubby industry as outsiders that had no experience. Also, these two, besides lecturing and speaking on entrepreneurship, they've written a best-selling book, The Barefoot Spirit, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's Number One Wine Brand. And then coming out in September is the second book, The Entrepreneurial Culture, 23 Ways to Engage and Empower Your People. Bonnie and Michael, welcome. That was a mouthful there.
Thank you. Thank
Great
you very
to be
much,
with you, Leslie.
So we have to get people familiar with your story. So I read that you got into this business, Barefoot Wines, almost by accident, sort of that you were doing a barter or an arrangement for a client. Did somebody, how did that happen?
Exactly. I had a client who wasn't paid for his grapes for 3 years. And Michael went to the winery to collect the funds and found out the winery was already in the process of going bankrupt. There was no funds to be had.
Ooh.
But what he was able to collect was wine and bottling services. And that being, you know, a little closer to the money, we figured, okay, so now what we have to do is get all the licensing, get a label, find somebody who will buy it, which as entrepreneurs, we think that's always most important, get it sold, and then pay the grower back, hopefully have a little bit of bucks to put back in our pockets.
But you just, rather than the grower taking on the bottling facilities and so forth, you took it on. And you,
yes.
And you took on the grower, your client, his debt from this company
Absolutely.
As well? And how long did it – so you paid off his debt?
At 100 cents on the dollar.
We certainly did.
How long did it take?
Oh, about 5 times longer than we thought. About 4 years, actually, to pay him off.
Okay. So you had no great affiliation or affection for wine. If your client had been in the meatpacking business, would it have been Barefoot Burgers?
Probably.
I suppose what happened is that we had an opportunity and we followed that opportunity passionately, whereas a lot of people that go into business, they're following their passion. Well, this was just a little bit different than that.
Mm-hmm. So much has been – so you get this bottling plant, right? And you're like, hey, we're in the wine business. Now what happens?
Well,
and you know nothing. I want to stress that you know nothing. Right.
Well, when we got into the wine business, we thought, oh, this is great. You know, people speak French. You know, they kick their little pinky up, sniff, swirl, and spit and all that. And we found out all of a sudden we were talking to truck drivers and forklift operators and warehouse people, and it was absolutely inglorious.
Mm-hmm.
It was we could have been selling hammers.
As are most businesses.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once you got a UPC code on your product, now you're in the distribution system. And once you're in the distribution system, you've got to do everybody's job or it stops.
Okay.
And so for us, our big shock was, oh, my God, this business has nothing to do with wine.
So much has been made of your logo in Barefoot Wines, yes. And the name, decidedly non-snobby, right? It
yes.
wasn't Roseman Hills or Greenwood Creek or Chateau de Ravenswood or anything like that, right? So how did that come about?
When we started off, because we knew nothing, we went out and asked people for help. And we got a lot of good answers, and all of that went into making the label. We asked the largest wine buyer in California in the chain stores what it was that he wanted, where he had a place on his shelf. And the first thing he said was, nobody ever asked me that before. Imagine.
Hmm.
Everybody comes in and pushes what they have.
Oh, I have
me.
A great varietal, right?
Well, that in itself was a huge lesson. But what he told us was, as far as the name goes, he said, don't make it a hill or a valley. Or a leap, and he said, for gosh sakes, please don't make it a chateau. Make it in English, make the image and the name the same,
mm-hmm.
and make the image visible from 4 feet away so she, the female buyer, who was his most prevalent buyer will be able to see it from 4 feet away in the aisle when she's pushing your cart down. So we took all of that information and kind of put it together. And one of my rules was it has to be easy to pronounce.
Okay.
I didn't drink wine because I couldn't pronounce the names on the label.
Ah.
And I said, maybe there's a few other people out there like that. So let's make it very friendly and easy to pronounce. And that's how we came up with Barefoot.
Okay. So he gave you some great advice. Did this retailer adopt your product right away when you came back with it?
Oh, not at all. As a matter of fact, we came back and we said, hey, look, it's exactly what you asked for. The name is the same as the logo. It's in plain English. You know, she can see it from 4 feet away. It's everything you asked for. He says, are you crazy? He says, I can't put this in. Nobody's ever heard of this brand. I said, well, what are we going to do? We bottled it all up for you. He says, I guess you got to go sell every corner, mama, papa, and independent grocery store, because the chains aren't going to touch it unless you're willing to put $200,000 into advertising.
Which, of course, you probably didn't have.
Of course, didn't have it.
Right.
So we went out and we started selling it on the corner. And in the process, we learned that by supporting nonprofits that were important to our buyers, to our ultimate buyer, that they would have a social reason to come in and buy our product. So we supported everything from, you know, the local PTA to the local conservation organizations, people that wanted to build a new library, all those kinds of groups.
When you say support, what does that mean? They would have an event, you would show up with cases of wine?
Absolutely. Not only that, but we'd help them set up and tear down for the event, and we would also take their message and put it on little tags and put the little tags on our bottles in the store. So we actually accessed a market that they could never access. And we said, you know, did you know that your neighbors are trying to put in a new library right down the street? So we became part of their group. And what we found was that you didn't need millions of customers. You just needed a few customers who were loyal and who were willing to share your product with their friends and family.
How did you pull it through retail, though? I mean, big retail.
Well, that was a big wake up call. First of all, we had to learn big retail, which means that you had to learn the rules. Every one of our 50 states has a myriad of laws that control alcohol beverage, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And then every supermarket has completely different rules for what they'll allow on the shelf, different number systems, different codes. There's all kinds of things that can go wrong that can make you fail in the supermarket that have nothing to do with your quality or your price. And so we had to learn all those things, and we had to put people on the ground in the area where those stores were to make sure our product stayed on the shelf. So it was a heck of a challenge for us. It took us about 3 years to really master the supermarket system.
Wow. And how did you have enough capital to withstand 3 years of slow growth like that?
Well, we did start off with a goodly amount of sum in bulk wine and bottling services. So that helped a lot. And just through the help of others, through the help of my family coming and living with us. So he lived with his mother-in-law for about 7 years. She came and helped take care of us.
She was great.
No kidding. What did she do for you?
She made great apple pie.
What'd she do for the business? Not for
with lots of sugar in it, by the way.
Okay,
Leslie.
I love her already. Right, did she help with the business?
Yes, she did. She put together point-of-sale material and packaged it up. She folded T-shirts just right so that big, beautiful foot on the front would be able to be seen easily.
Mm-hmm.
And she did various other things that she could do from the house.
Wow. So you were able to last that long till you sort of got your sea legs together with the retail, right?
Well, right. But we also learned how to reduce our need for capital. And this is one of the things that's in the book, The Barefoot Spirit, because everybody says, how did you do it? How did you do it? Well, for one thing, we didn't have any money. And because we didn't have any money, we were forced to be resourceful and creative. And so we went to our suppliers and we said, hey, we have an opportunity to expand in Florida, but we don't have enough money to buy all the glass from your company that we need to put the wine in to sell it in the supermarkets in Florida. Will you help us? And they say, well, well, you know, you've been paying your bills on time. And when you don't pay your bills, you always call us up and tell us you're not going to. And you're the kind of customer we want to work with. So, yes, we'll front you some glass for Florida, because if you succeed, we'll succeed. And so we call this strategic alliances. And we did this all the way down. So we got our suppliers to actually be our bankers. And we also got our buyers to be our bankers. We went to our buyers and we said, look, you've been buying Barefoot every month, 1,000 cases a month for your supermarket. How about this? Why don't you buy 2,000 cases this month, pay for it in cash, and we'll give you a special deal. So that also helped our cash flow. But when you don't have any money, it's amazing how imaginative you get.
That's right. Well, I don't want to make it about me, but listening to you, I was an entrepreneur at a window factory for many years, 10 years. And I also made a similar deal with a supplier because I was cash poor. And then we had an unfortunate forklift accident in the factory, which destroyed some raw material, and I didn't have enough money to pay for the replacement. So it's funny, as you say, you get very creative. Necessity makes you very creative. By the way, I was loyal to that supplier forever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
For helping me out.
Exactly.
So I did read, and this is getting into probably some of the things you talk about in the entrepreneurial culture, and maybe in the upcoming book, too, The Barefoot Spirit. I did read...
The other way around.
Oh,
the
I'm
barefoot
sorry.
Barefoot Spirit is the one that's out.
Barefoot Spirit, an entrepreneurial culture coming out in September.
Right.
I did read that you share, when you had problems, you shared those problems with your staff, which is not something I did. And I would think a lot of managers would be reluctant to do that, afraid that either good staff would leave if they felt the company might be weak or take advantage of the weakness. Why did you do that?
Because we're looking for good ideas from everyone. And everyone on your staff knows a lot about your company, and they know a lot about the people that are dealing with your product all the way through the distribution line. And they can come up with great ideas if they know the need. So we practice know the need instead of need to know, which a lot of corporations are dealing with. They like to hide a lot of information and kind of have it siloed in different sections. But we not only talked about our successes and our failures and our needs with our staff, but we also talked to them. I mean, we also talked to our suppliers, our distributors, our retailers about the same things. So they could come up with ideas. They had ways that they could help us. Mm. Maybe they could warehouse our products in a less expensive fashion than we could, for instance. Or they could give us a better price on some of our supplies that maybe our competition wasn't able to get.
Okay. All right. Now, are you guys pressed for time, or can I keep you?
No, you can keep us.
Okay. I got to take a break, but I'm going to keep you.
Until the next show, yeah.
All right. Good. So 866-408-7669 is the number. I have in here the founders of Barefoot Wine, Bonnie Harvey, Michael Houlihan, also the authors of the book, the new book, The Entrepreneurial Culture, and the best-selling book, The Barefoot Spirit. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about, I know you do a lot of coaching and teaching as to entrepreneurialism. Let's talk about that and whether, in fact, it can be taught at all. I'm Leslie Gold. I'm in for Brian. It's Kilmeade and Friends.
Don't agree with Brian?
What's he doing? What's he thinking?
Engage in some friendly fire. You're with Kilmeade and Friends.
Leslie Gold, I'm in for Brian. It is Kilmeade and Friends. We have Bonnie Harvey, Michael Houlihan here. They are the founders of Barefoot Wines. Of course, you know, if you've ever been in a liquor store, a wine store, you've seen the brand. They're also the authors of two books. One's a bestseller in the New York Times, The Barefoot Spirit. It's been out a while. It's a great book, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's Number One Wine Brand. And their new book, The Entrepreneurial Culture, comes out in September. And this is directed at companies that want their employees to behave more entrepreneurial?
Yes, it is. It's different ways that any company can incorporate to become more entrepreneurial, to really inspire and lead their staff to become more innovative and creative.
So you, Bonnie and Michael, you both speak at schools that teach, I'm using air quotes, entrepreneurialism, and you even teach the professors that teach the entrepreneurialism. I applaud, because the professors, they've never run a business. What do they know? But I'm of the opinion that entrepreneurialism can't be taught, that it's sort of this thing in your gut where you have to be attracted to the struggle and you have to expect terrible things to happen every day so it doesn't rip your gut apart when it does happen, that you're able to withstand it. What do you I think it's an emotional thing more than anything. What do you say?
Well, I think it's really difficult to teach that aspect of entrepreneurship, which is why that we're happy that the schools that are trying to teach entrepreneurship are smart enough to bring in real entrepreneurs from the real world. And they talk about that brick that falls out of the sky and hits them square on the head every day. And the thing is, what they're teaching is all great information. It's sort of like keeping your knees bent if you're a boxer or a tennis player, because you don't know where the ball or the blow is going to come from. But it doesn't teach you to be a good tennis player or a good boxer. But at least you understand what's happening. And so we encourage people to go to school to learn that. But to actually learn how to be an entrepreneur, you have to go out there and do it. And we try to coach people to do that.
Do you think it's harder today with various regulations and licensing? And, you know, you mentioned that you have to learn to do business 50 different ways to do business in 50 states. Is it harder today to be an entrepreneur?
With the education that's available, that gives anyone that wants to start their own business a real head start. And the schools that teach entrepreneurship, they're relatively few, and it's a new subject. So that is really useful. Another thing is we found out when we were in Dublin, where we were keynote speakers for the World Conference on Entrepreneurship, a lot of people came up to us and a lot of the speakers mentioned that here in America, we really have an advantage. We have more entrepreneurs here. And the reason is because we have the encouragement to do that. We have the culture that makes starting your own business more acceptable than in a lot of other countries.
I worry, though, because I see these stories of kids with lemonade stands being put out of business by the sheriff of Happy Valley because they don't have a license or because the health department comes in and shuts them down.
The community rallies around these kids with the lemonade stand, and they say, we're not going to tolerate it. And that improves his business. So anything that doesn't, you know, kill you
makes
you stronger. And so it really shows support for any kids and makes them realize that they can get support from their community.
So, Bonnie and Michael, I only have about a minute left with you. How do you work, your husband and wife, how did you work together for these years and still maintain the romance? did the wine help?
The wine is definitely a great thing to have. But no, Bonnie and I have different skill sets. And we have a lot of respect for each other's skill sets. So I'm kind of like the guy that goes out there and makes the sale and does the marketing and makes the big, you know, swashes with his sword. And she's the one who makes sure that I don't trip on my shoelaces because my shoes aren't tied. So she takes care of things like everything legal, everything bankable, everything organizational.
You were really the operating partner.
She's totally the operating partner. I'm just the guy out in front, you know, with the drum.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Pleasure meeting you. Bonnie Harvey and Michael Houlihan, the author of two books here. Thank you for the copies, by the way. The Barefoot Spirit, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's Number One Wine Brand. And the new book, The Entrepreneurial Culture, 23 Ways to Engage and Empower Your People. What do you want to say about that? Oh, you want to take that. All right. This one's for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie.
All right.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. 866-408-7669 is the number. We're going to spend a few minutes actually talking about whether you think entrepreneurism can be taught, especially if you're someone who's running your own business. I'm Leslie Gold. I'm in for Brian Kilmeade. It is Kilmeade and Friends.